I start the blame game right off the bat. If you don't like what I do, and you don't like how I do it, it's John Garrison's fault. Wherever he is. There he is. Okay, so whoever you blame, just look at him and say, why did you ever allow this guy to come up front? Secondly, if you'd like to heckle, you can. Except for John Garrison. He's not allowed to speak in this class, ask any questions. He can ask his wife to ask questions, but he can't ask any questions. Because he... Every 2 weeks we go out to lunch and he gets everything out of me he possibly can so he doesn't have to stay in this class. Right, John?
That's right.
Okay, we're going to be doing 9 weeks. We think 9 weeks. If this class is only 30 minutes long, it's going to be the fastest 30 minutes you guys have ever been through because every one of my materials are usually about an hour to an hour and a half. So I'm going to speak really fast. So as one of my instructors in karate says, you have to listen fast. Okay? If you see... This handout that you have, it is a class participation handout where you have to fill in the blanks if you want to listen and put it in. At the end of the 9 weeks, I am going to have all of my stuff sent to Brian, so if anybody wants the actual whole filled out class, you can get it from Brian. He doesn't know this yet, but he will know it, okay? I'm today, Paul is next week, I'm the week following, then Paul, then me, then Paul. And we're going to be going on an overview for the first 2 weeks, and we'll be covering debt, stewardship, financial planning, and the last 3 weeks is going to be budgeting, okay, which we believe for finances is the most important thing. Okay, so let's get started with prayer, and then I'll get going. Heavenly Father, we do pray this day. We thank you, Lord, that you have brought us through the fires. We pray for the firemen right now, as even this morning we smelled and saw on the news that it is not even quite over. There are still 4 fires raging in the East County. We pray that you would bless these men and women, that you would protect them, Lord God, and that you would use this as a wake-up call to your people. Lord God, we pray for this study that you would guide us and bless us, that you would give us great understanding of your word concerning money. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, before I get started, if you have a desire to do any reading on your own, there are what I call the 3 heroes of financial planning, one of which unfortunately died about 8 or 10 years ago. His name is Larry Burkett. Okay, he has a book called What the Bible Says About Money. The first half of the book uses a topic and all the scripture references. And the second half of the book has each book in the Bible with those scripture references in it. Great reference book. Second book, which my class is pretty much taken from, is from a man named Ron Blue. It's called Mastering Your Money. Awesome, awesome book. Last one is from a guy called Howard Dayton Jr. Ron Blue and Howard Dayton Jr. and Larry Burkett's old organization have now joined together, and they are the premier Christian financial counselors in the United States today. Okay? For you parents with kids, Larry Burkett has a series for preteens, teens, high schoolers, college-age kids, things like renting your first apartment, buying your first car, getting your first credit card, okay? Things, practical things that the school system will never teach you or your kids. Okay, let's get started. Okay, the issue of money, I got to look at one. Are there any of these left?
One.
Can I see it? Because I don't know where I have filled in the blanks. Where did it go? Okay. Over how many verses in the Bible are there about money or money matters? Does anybody know? Over a lot. That's a very big number. How many?
370.
370. Anybody else?
More than two.
There are over 2,000 verses in the Bible concerning money. It is the number one talked about subject in the Bible. Okay? So when you hear that, you understand God's importance that he places on this subject and how we handle it, how we work with it, what we do with it. Okay? money is, if especially if you're married, you'll know this, money is a contender for our thoughts, concerns, and wants. Okay? If anybody has ever been in financial crisis, if anybody has ever found themselves where there's too much month at the end of the money, when Karen and I lived in Texas, we were both working and she got pregnant. I don't know how she got pregnant, but she got pregnant and she quit her job. All of a sudden, we were making half of what we used to make with three people instead of two. That becomes a financial concern. Okay? So God understands that money is a concern to us. Okay? In a lot of people, and especially in people that are financially minded, money eventually becomes the goal as opposed to a means to a goal. Okay, when we start going over budgeting, we're going to be talking about you budget to plan for your expenditures. You don't live for your budget, which for people like me, that's a very difficult thing. Okay? So you will understand that when it comes to financial situations, it's one of the root causes of problems in marriage. Okay, one of my jobs as a former deacon in our church in Texas and at Trinity PCA in Escondido is I did financial counseling for couples in marriage. And it's amazing that most of the time the marriages were having serious problems, it was because the money was having serious problems, or how they spent it, or what they did with it. Okay? Because money is probably the number one contender for our thoughts and hopes and fears. The number one contender. Financial difficulties can seriously affect our relationship with God. Okay? Then the two lines below are two scripture references. I'm not even going to have, I don't need my Bible because I have mine printed out, Dave. Okay, the first one is 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money, and this is where this is quoted, misquoted most of the time. A lot of the time it's misquoted is, money is the root of all evil, which is wrong. It's the love of money, and this is the next article that is misquoted the most. It's not for the love of money is the root of all evil. It is a root of all evil. Some by longing for it wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So there are lots of roots of evil, and the love of money is just one of them. Second verse is James 1:9 through 11. But the brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position. And the rich man is to glory in his humiliation, because like flowering grass, he will pass away.
What was the reference again?
James 1, 9 through 11. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. We have great biblical references concerning this about the rich man that said, oh my gosh, my barns aren't big enough, I'm wealthy, I've got to build bigger barns. And what does God say? You fool, today your life will be required of you. Anybody working out in business probably knows at least one person that's just like this, that lives for the amount of money that he or she can make and lives for nothing else but the amount of money that he or she can make. Okay? Unfortunately for them, it stays here when they die. So for that to be your ultimate pursuit is foolishness. Okay? First thing of value here, definition of success. Who can define success?
4.5 million.
4.5 million is success. That's a possibility. Who can define? Yes, ma'am.
Mine,
Success is getting up one more time than you fall down.
Okay. Yes.
My wife's happiness.
That's a lifelong pursuit.
Contentment with godliness is great gain.
Contentment with godliness is great gain. Okay? My definition of success, the continued achievement of God-given goals. Continued achievement of God-given goals. Okay? The reason why we're talking about finances today is because they are God-given. And everything we do, we have to have a spiritual mind. We can't believe the world when it says that there are issues and items outside the purview of God. God doesn't speak on everything. That's not true. He does. He may not tell you how to perform an open heart surgery, but His word will tell you why you need one. Okay, same thing with finances. He gives us everything we need to live financially sound. Okay? Financial planning. The definition of financial planning is the predetermined use of financial resources in order to accomplish those goals and objectives. Okay, who can finish this sentence? If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Okay, so financial planning can be an ominous task, and it could be very easy. And what we're going to try to do when we get to the budgeting and planning part, we're going to try to show you how you can do a budget in about 15 to 20 minutes a week. Okay, if you go to the one thing that I'm not too happy about, guys like Ron Blue and Larry Burkett, if you look at their budgets, they're like 13, 14 pages of budgets. And if you don't spend money in this category, you got to make an entry to take it out of there and put it in this category. No. No, we'll show you how to make it easy, because if it's easy, you'll do it. If it's not, you won't. Okay? So if it takes any more time than 15 minutes a week, most people won't even do a budget, and they're going to plan to fail. Okay? Next scripture reference, and I'm not going to go through the whole one. It's Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. Okay, this is the rich man that goes on a journey, gives his slaves possessions, and he gives one 10 talents, one 5 talents, one talent, and it says in the scripture, the one who had 10 made 10 more, the one who had 5 made 5 more, and both of them were good and faithful servants, and the one who had 1 was afraid, he buried the talent, gave it back to him, and the master said, "You fool! How come you didn't even put it in the bank and at least collect interest for me rather than just burying it?" Okay? So he failed to plan. Next page. Four biblical principles of money management. First one. God owns it all. Too often we believe everything that we have is ours. And like Matthew 25, we are just stewards. We are entrusted with this resource, and God asks us and tells us to use it to His glory and to His benefit. Okay? He has the right to it. He can do with it whatever He so chooses. That's why the pursuit of money is such a foolish pursuit, because God can take it away at any time. Now, the scripture that Troy quoted, the number one way to be satisfied with what you have, where you are, what your position in life is contentment. Okay, I had a discussion with Brian on this in another Bible study. It's the difference between, what's the other term I use? Contentment and complacency. Okay? Contentment doesn't mean that you strive to be better. Contentment doesn't mean that you strive for excellence. It doesn't mean that you don't strive for excellence. It just means that you're satisfied with where God has you, even though you strive. Complacency says, I'm never going to get better anyway, so I'm not going to do anything about it. Okay? God doesn't ask us to be complacent. He asks us to be excellent in all that we do and be content in our situation. Okay? Okay? So as a steward, I have responsibilities. God owns it all. I have responsibilities to maintain what God has given me. Okay? Because God owns it all, every decision that I make in finances is a spiritual decision. Okay? We had a pastor in Houston that challenged us once and said, if you really want to understand and to figure out where every single dime of your money goes, pray over every spending decision you will make before you make that decision. Kind of radical thought, but it gave us a chance to pause and to think about whether we needed what we were actually going to buy or not. All the way down to toothbrushes. Okay? And you cannot fake stewardship. Anybody know why you can't fake stewardship? Because God's the owner. And God can't be faked out. He knows it all. Okay? So, if He calls you to be a steward, He has complete understanding of what you're doing with His resources. Okay? Second point to biblical principles of money management. We are in a growth process. God uses this money and material possessions as a tool, a test, and a testimony. Scripture, pardon me?
Can you repeat that?
God uses the money and the material possessions He has entrusted to us as a tool, a test, and a testimony. Okay? Philippians 4:11 through 13. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me.
Reverence again.
Philippians 4:11 through 13. Okay? God uses the resources that He gives us as a testimony to the world. Okay? We can be either a testimony for good or a testimony for ill as when how we use the resources He has entrusted to us. Just like Pastor was talking about today. The testimony of Christians who lose their homes. It's just a possession. God gave it to me. God took it away. God give me again, if He so desires. To non-Christians, it could be their very life. They've lost it all. They've lost it all. Whereas Christians have just lost their possessions. Okay? We were talking to people who were told to get out, and it was, who was it? I can't remember. It was everything to them. As a matter of fact, some people stayed. Some people stayed and actually fought the firemen. There was one guy down in Del Vios that actually fought the firemen, took a hose from the firemen, and watered down his building. And they actually had to threaten him with jail to get him out of there. And while they were protecting his house, the houses on the other side of his were done. Okay? When Karen called me and told me that we were voluntarily being evacuated, I said, get out. Get out. Don't need anything. Unimportant. Okay? We had the valuable paperwork, the things that could not be replaced, birth certificates and passports and stuff like that, pictures. Other than that, just a house. Okay? So we are a testimony to the world, and they do look at us. Luke 16:11-12. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust the true riches to you? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? Okay? Point number three. This is so critical. The amount is never important. God doesn't want you to say, you know what, when I hit it big, God, I'll give back to you. Because he didn't say that to the widow who gave just the mite. And he said she was more righteous than all the rest of them because she gave everything of what she had. Okay? So, whatever God chooses to entrust us with, we should keep with an open hand. And if he allows us to entrust us with more, we do. If not, if he wants to take it away, we allow him to. Okay? Everything is his anyway, right? Nothing we own is ours. Everything we own, we're just stewards. Okay? And point four. Faith requires action. Accumulating financial wealth should never be an end in itself. Resources are accumulated only to use them to accomplish some purpose, goal, or objective. And we're going to get those in a minute. Asking the question, what are you trying to accomplish? When spending money helps to focus the decision on the real objectives. Okay? Any questions so far? I'm doing all the talking. Yes, ma'am.
Just in less of this one. And point number three, where it says hold with a blank hand. What's the word?
Open hand.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Ray, how about 1A, the two blanks there? What goes in there? Under steward and God as owner?
I have written 1A, as a steward, I, as a steward, have responsibilities over that which God has entrusted to me, but God, as owner, has rights.
Thank you.
He has rights, I have responsibilities. Okay. Next point, guaranteeing financial success. I guarantee you, you will be financially successful. If you do these three things, I guarantee it. First one, that you understand that God owns it all. Okay? Number two, money is never an end in itself. It is merely a resource to accomplish goals and objectives, like I had just said. If money becomes your focus, you are doomed to disappointment. If money becomes your focus, there is never enough money. Ever. Bill Gates does not have enough money for Bill Gates. Bill Gates, his goal is to rule the world with his software. If he owns 99% of the market, it's not enough for Bill Gates. Okay? And you'll be dimmed with disappointment because it was never intended by our Creator to be anything other than a resource. Okay? And here is the guarantee to financial success. Number three. If you spend less than you earn, over a long period of time, you will be financially successful. Guaranteed. Ron Blue has a story of a pastor that he counseled. The guy came into him for financial counseling. He was at retirement age. And he said, "Ron, I've been a pastor for 40 years. I have never earned more than $8,000 a year. Ever. Can you help me? I need to retire." And Ron Blue said, "Do you own anything?" He said, "Well, let me give you my portfolio." And Ron Blue went over, looked over his portfolio, and the next thing out of his mouth is, "Can you teach me how to invest?" And the pastor said, "Why?" He said, "Because your portfolio is worth over $500,000. Because he spent less than he earned, and he invested wisely. Okay? Now, there are discretionary places to cut spending, and the number one, the only discretionary place actually to cut spending is in your lifestyle. And we're going to go over these in just a minute also. Okay? Accumulation of financial resources requires patience and self-discipline. And where do we learn about patience and self-discipline? Where in the Word of God? Fruits of the Spirit. Two of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. One of my businesses is to build financial plans for companies or individuals that are looking to start companies. And statistically, one out of every 100 of those companies makes it. Okay? So those individuals that are looking to get rich quick with the big tip, their chances of that happening are about 1%. As opposed to the patient investor who just saves a little bit over a long period of time. Okay? I'll give you another example. My dad worked for a company called Schlumberger, which is an oil testing service. If you had invested in the stock in 1976, just 100 shares of Schlumberger in 1976, which would have cost you $9,000 in 1976, that was a lot of money. Okay? Today, that stock would be 20,000 shares at $100 a share trading today. Okay? So a $9,000 investment, $2 million today, just by being patient. Okay? To meet your long-term goals, those goals must take for a priority over your short-term goals. Okay? Something that our parents learned, which our generation has solely forgotten. Delayed gratification. Save for the future. Today, go out there in the world and all they want to do is spend for now. Who cares about the future? I work with a gentleman my age. When he was 22 years old, he was clearing commissions of $500,000 per deal. Traveling all over the world, driving a new car every 6 months. Unbelievable. Today, 30 years later, he is destitute. Doesn't have a dime. Because didn't plan for the future. Okay? Financial planning overview. Isn't this just uplifting? Financial planning overview. All of us have limited resources. Anybody have unlimited resources? Anybody? Nobody. Wow, interesting. Always too much month at the end of the money. Okay? Because we all have limited resources, there are always more alternatives for the money than the money available. Number three is very interesting. Today's decisions determine destiny. A dollar spent today is gone forever. You never get it back. And the longer the term of perspective, the better is the decision making. For you young kids that are 16, 17, 18, when you go out and get your first job, my recommendation, and this is an overview, but I'll throw in some financial recommendations. You're working, you get your first raise. What do you do with your first raise if you're in the United States today? Well, actually, you don't spend it. You spend it for a year so that you will earn in a year what you're spending today. Because you have to go get a new car or something. You got a raise. You got to get a new car. Right? My recommendation, take that raise, start it in an investment, live on what you've been living for the prior year. You'll never know the difference. Nothing has changed. And keep that investment going. If you save 50 bucks a month over the next 40 years, it'll be worth about $2 or $3 million. For somebody like me to be able to do that today at 53 years old, and if I wanted to retire in 12 years, I would have to save at the rate of about $5,000 to $8,000 a month for you saving 50 bucks a month. So the perspective to save a little bit over a long period of time works. So start today. And if you don't start today, I'll tell you how to start it when I started at my age. It is painful. It can be done, but it's painful. Okay? More uplifting news, isn't it? Okay, short-range objectives. Short-range objectives. What do I have here? Blanks. Oh, shucks, they're just blanks. Yes, sir?
What was number four?
Oh, I take that back. I never even said that. Number four, the yes, I did. The longer the term of perspective, okay, the better is the decision making.
Thank you.
Everybody understand when you don't go shopping for groceries?
When you're hungry.
When you're hungry. When don't you go shopping to a store for clothes?
When you're naked.
When you're naked. I wouldn't go for groceries either. When you've just seen something on an advertisement on the TV, you don't go right there and buy those clothes. You don't need it. You always delay your decision. When you're out, who goes out and looks at a car and buys it right then and there? Anybody? Raise your hands. Nobody's going to raise their hands because they're guilty. Never buy a car when you go out and find it. You go out, you look at the car, you go home. Think about it for 2 or 3 days. It's still going to be there. After 2 or 3 days of praying about it, and you still believe that the decision is the correct one, then you go and buy the car. You never buy things on a whim and a fancy. Okay? You'll totally screw up your financials. Okay, short-range objectives. The number one short-range objective for a Christian is? Give it away. Tithe. Sacrificial giving. Donations. Okay, we're going to talk about tithing here, and John always says that he's controversial. I may not be controversial, but I'm very set in my ways of what I believe in tithing. Okay, but we'll talk about that.
He is.
And I don't think you can convince me otherwise.
I'll let you know.
Okay, short range objective number two, spend it to support a lifestyle.
Again, please.
Spend it to support a lifestyle. I'm running out of time, aren't I? Too bad. Did everybody last a little while longer?
Nobody else finished it. Oh,
okay.
John never does.
Number three.
I'm not even teaching them.
And you're being heckled. Number three, use to repay debt. Anybody in debt?
Only the two
Anybody own a home that's not paid off? You're in debt. Anybody live in an apartment that has to pay a monthly payment every year, every day, week to someone else every month? You're in debt. You owe somebody. Okay? It's the way of life. Is debt a sin? No. What is debt? Pardon me?
What did you say? What is sin?
What is debt? What's the biblical definition of debt?
Slavery.
Debt is slavery. Okay? And that's another thing we'll be getting into is debt. What forms of debt? What debt is good? What debt is bad? Okay? What kind of slave do you want to be? Number four. This is my favorite one. It's going to be even more favorite come November of 2008. Used to meet tax obligations. Anybody hear of the latest tax bill that's going through Congress right now? Largest tax increase in the history of the United States. Our favorite Congressman Randall is trying to get $1 trillion. But he's not going to take it from everybody. Sorry, I'm politicizing. My bad. I'm not even supposed to bring up political names. Oh, no, I don't get paid as a pastor. I can do that. I'm a volunteer here. Okay, number five. Last short-range objective, accumulated or saved for the long term. Okay, objectives 1 and 5, giving it away and saving it, are productive. Everybody understand what that means? Productive, it will make more, giving it away or saving it. 2, 3, and 4 are consumptive. Once you use them, it's gone. Okay? Okay, 2 factors to determine how to allocate the money I have. The first factor is the commitments I already have. Right? If I owe somebody something, do I have the right to declare bankruptcy?
Not since 2005.
I do have the right to declare bankruptcy in the United States. Do I have the biblical right to declare bankruptcy? No. God says, pay what you owe. You have no right to withhold from whom you borrow, unless that person gives it away and says, you don't have to pay me back. Okay? Number 2, necessary factor is my priorities. And a commitment must be your top priority. Which, if you see what's happening in the housing market today, you'll know that that's not the case in the United States. Because people are going upside down and just walking away from their homes. So their commitment now becomes the priority of the bank from whom they borrowed rather than their own. Okay? Long-range objectives. First one is financial independence. Biblical or unbiblical financial independence? Biblical. Why? What does Scripture say?
Oh, no man,
save for your children's children rather than your children's children taking care of you, right? You're to save for your children's children. Second long-range objective, college education for your children. If you save today, starting right when you graduate high school or college and go on to the workforce, by the time your kid is 18 and you have it in an investment fund, you could very well have paid for all the college. Third one is paying off debt. Yes?
Are these in the order they should be done?
No. These are your priorities. Whatever order you believe your priorities should be. Okay? Number 4. Major lifestyle desires. Number 5, major charitable giving. And number six, owning your own business, which in the United States today is not very easy to do based on our taxing system. Okay, if you can define and quantify these, if you can sit down and define and quantify these and see how much money, then you know how much money you need to live. Very simple. Take you about 10 or 15 minutes, right? Right, Mike? Yeah. Okay. Okay. Avoiding the most common mistakes. I'm almost done. Avoiding the most common mistakes. Be careful not to reduce or eliminate an expense this year that would be more costly next year. Okay? If your car needs an oil change and it, if you so wish to go pay for it, go ahead. I don't. I'm a cheapskate. I do all my own oil changes, which costs me about $7. If you wait and say, you know what, I can't afford it, I don't have the time, I have too much important things to do, and you decide not to change your oil, and you wait like I know one individual did and owned their car for 3 years before they decided not to change their oil, what did they have to change? Their engine, because the engine seized. Okay? Don't give up paying for something today which will cost you twice as much or whatever in the future. Okay? Secondly, if God is pleased to give you creative ways to reduce your expenses when you come to Him and ask Him humbly for wisdom and guidance. Creative ways to reduce your expenses. Very easy creative way for families to reduce their expenses, cutting coupons out of the newspaper. I remember when the newspaper called and asked me if I wanted it, and I said, no. Unless I can get more in coupons than I can pay for the newspaper, I don't want it. And we actually get the coupons that we get, and we give them to our daughter, and we've given them away, and they get way more than we pay for the newspaper. Okay? So God gives creative ways. And James 1:5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Okay, the biggest financial mistakes, and then we're done. Three biggest financial mistakes. A consumptive lifestyle. And I'm going to give my last story. We were in Texas. I was giving a seminar. It was actually in an auditorium. I was giving a seminar, and I told, people were asking me how we were watching our spending and our budget, and I said, very easy. I live in Houston, Texas. What do you pay for in Houston, Texas? Air conditioning, electricity. I told them every day I go up to the meter and I mark down the meter number, how much we're consuming every day. A lady stood up in the audience, pointed her finger at me and said, you are an ogre. How can you do that to your wife? And I said, you're right. I said, I am not the federal government. If it doesn't come in, it doesn't go out. Okay? Consumptive lifestyle. Spending more than you're getting will destroy you financially. And we're going to talk about that when we get to debt. What it takes to get out of debt. It's not just reducing your spending to where you need to be. You've got to go far lower to start paying the debt that you use to pay for your current lifestyle. Okay? Second thing, lack of a budget. And we're going to go over budgeting also. A very simplified budget. The one that I've done, Karen and I just talked about it. We haven't done it for a few years, but we're going to start again. She's been convicted, I haven't, but it's only one page. Very simple. Takes about 15 to 20 minutes a week. If you live by it, if you use it as a tool, you will be able to guard against overspending. Okay? And the last biggest financial mistake occurs in buying and selling cars. The cheapest car you can own is the one you currently own. Unless you can sell the one you currently own and buy a cheaper one. I have a 1997 that's 25 miles on the gallon. That just hurts me that it gets so little gas mileage, 25 miles on the gallon. So I was going to go buy a Prius. I was going to go buy an old used Prius, 2003. You get one for $15,000. Okay? Gets 45 miles on the gallon. I would have had to have spent $10,000, the difference between what mine could sell for and what I would buy. $10,000. I could never make that up in gas. Ever. I'd take my car. Until it dies. It's now at 171,000 miles and climbing. Okay? So the cheapest car that you can own, if you take care of it, if you do things yourself to reduce the expenses to take care of it, is the one you own. Okay? So when you use debt to fund a consumptive lifestyle, you not only have the consumptive lifestyle working against you, you have the additional burden of the debt working against you. And you should avoid both of those like the plague. And the only absolute way to avoid debt is to have a financial plan. And Ron Blue talks about having a financial plan and having it at the beginning of the year. And planning your year without debt. And if you're careful, if God so chooses and allows, you can do it. Okay? That's all I have for today. Next week is Paul. Paul, you're going to be dealing with... topics to be covered and how they work together. That's what you said here.
Brilliant.
Anybody have any questions, comments, concerns, criticisms?
Is it really?
Yes, ma'am. Pardon me? Yes, ma'am.
Because isn't the last page?
We're
going to
last page.
Yeah.
Discipline?
Through blank. You will stick
through self-discipline. I will send these to Brian at the end of our class. These will be on Word files, and you'll be able to, if you want him to email them to you, he'll be able to email them to you. You can have them. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Did we get them before the last class, or did we review them before?
Yes,
sir.
Okay, I will send it to Brian. I don't have my computer. I will send it to Brian and then have him shoot it to anybody who wants, because I don't have anybody's email address. Yes, sir.
Right, top of page 5, 3 blanks. What are they?
Blank 1, blank 2, and blank 3.
Yeah. That's what they are at the current time.
Let's top of page 5. If you can, is that what you're looking at?
That's correct, sir.
Avoiding the most common mistakes.
And quantifying.
If you could define and quantify
all right.
These long-term goals, then you will have answered the question, how much is enough? How much can I live on?
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Any others? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for this day again. We pray that you would bless our afternoon, that we would concentrate on you and your vast creation, that we would think about the things that we've learned today, and that you would prepare us for tonight's worship in Temecula. We do thank you for your mercies to us. In Jesus' name, amen.